You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Talinsky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax. On this Monday Hasty Treat, we're going to be talking about Blue Sky and the AT protocol. If these things sound like things you have never heard of, then you are probably not a Twitter user and probably have not been on Twitter in the last, I don't know, week or so, as the Blue Sky Discord has been absolutely blowing up. And honestly, I haven't been on Twitter either. I've been on Blue Sky. So we're going to be talking all about what the heck this stuff is and why it matters for you as a developer and what it kind of means in a bigger picture of everything on the web. So my name is Scott Talinsky. I'm a developer from Denver. And with me, as always, is Wes Boss. How's it going, my man?
Hey, pretty good. Pretty good. Excited to we're recording this on a Friday because we have a bunch of invites to Blue Sky to give out. We will put a couple in the show notes and a couple we'll tweet out at Syntax. Oh, no, we're not going to tweet them out. We're going to, can we Sky them out? Can you get to Blue Sky if you don't have an account? Let me try.
I don't think so. I don't think, yeah, I'm not sure you can't. Well,
no, you can't. Okay. So we're not going to Sky them out because, or skeet them. That's, we'll talk about the verbiage around this in just a second. We will tweet them out at Syntax FM. And then we'll also put a couple in the show notes. And shout out to Matt Stipa, who hooked us up with 16 invites. These are things that are impossible to come by, and he just casually had 16 laying around. So,
I don't want this to turn into a coupon code thing where everybody's going nuts.
Yeah,
so if you try the ones in the show notes and they don't work, that's all we got for now, and we'll keep sharing them on our Twitter as well as. In all of the socials, whenever we do get more, hopefully we do. Maybe yeah. Blue Sky hears this episode and wants to hook us up. Syntax FM on Blue Sky if you want to give us more invites. Cool. So let's get into it. Blue Sky is basically the new Twitter. It's not necessarily confirmed to be the new Twitter or anything yet because there's been a lot of new Twitters lately. We had Mastodon.
Remember Elo?
I really don't. I've like blocked all of them out of my mind because so many of them popped up and it was like, oh, this is going to be the one. But, you know, nobody's doing it or nobody has access to it. I know Substack has their own Twitter clone because Substack and Twitter are fighting, even though they both have the same investors. we have a lot of different. What was some of those other ones where it's like, Notes is one, something called Notes, but
Noster is apparently another one. There's lots of them out there.
We both downloaded the app Deimos a while ago that's built on Noster.
Yes.
And that was like just in case that one ends up blowing up. We got in early so I could get the at Scott handle on it. But yeah, the Blue Sky is basically the next in a long string of attempts at taking over Twitter. And we've often talked about, like, what is the next Twitter? If Twitter happens to go the way of MySpace, what is their Facebook to their MySpace? And we talked about it probably not being just a Twitter clone. However, if you log into Blue Sky, aesthetically, visually, functionally, it is very much a clone of Twitter. And that seems to be a positive for most people, including myself, actually.
It's hilarious because, like, you cut back to about 4 or 5 months ago, and I very clearly remember saying, the thing that gets us off Twitter is not going to be a less good version of Twitter. It's going to be something else. And boy, was I wrong about that. So we're not saying that right. Blue Sky. I also said, what could Elon possibly do to Twitter? You know, like, well, the guy's not an idiot. I think I said the guy's not an idiot. And like I understand he's a evil villain.
He's contentious.
But I was like, come on, like there's no way. And here we are. I think I was wrong about that as well. I'm certainly not giving up on Twitter. I probably would like if we all stayed on Twitter. I have such a large following there.
Yeah,
that would be very nice to keep. But obviously there's a lot going on. And the quality of Twitter maybe hasn't gone downhill, but the amount of irritants in Twitter has definitely increased over the years. So,
and honestly, Wes, I know, sorry to cut you off, but like I did not pay for the checkmark. And honestly, you know, I'm not like about to get in fights over the check mark. I didn't pay for it because I don't want to give that guy money. But
yeah,
I have seen like no engagement since they introduced. Like, I feel like I'm effectively shadow banned. I feel like when I'm posting now on Twitter, I feel like I'm talking into the void, even if I'm sharing useful things that would typically get people clicking on them or interested in them, or just the fact that they're interesting things people typically would share. I'm getting nothing. And I don't know. I have no idea if that's because I'm not interesting or if it's because the whole blue check mark thing has essentially diminished the output of
it,
some
it,
people.
It has. Yeah. It has. So I paid for it, much to many people's chagrin. And I basically, so I had I've had the blue check for like 8 years or something like that. I got it not because I'm anyone special, but because they were handing them out to anybody. I would just like, I remember submitting the form and saying, I have a blog. I think that was my
proof. That was early. Yeah.
And they're like, sure, you have a blog. So they threw it to me. And then once they took those away, I was like, all right, well, there's actually some features on Twitter Blue that I wanted, which was I want the longer video. I want 1080p video. So now I can upload in higher quality. I can upload more than 2 minutes, which is really nice. I've done a couple of those. And then there's obviously the algorithmic benefits to it as well. And as somebody who makes his living posting content to Twitter is a big part of that. So it sort of gets tangled up in the being verified, which is obviously silly because now it's just whoever pays for it and it doesn't actually mean anything. And that's a little frustrating because they don't necessarily, I don't necessarily care about that. Like the web developers that follow me know who I am. I don't need that. But I actually like the features. And there's this feature called, it basically takes all the links of the past 24 hours out of your Twitter feed and compiles them into thing. So I see everybody's blog posts. It's kind of like a RSS feeder of anything that people have posted and find interesting, and then it ranks it based on how much engagement it's got. And I kind of like that as well. So it's kind of interesting, but I definitely noticed an uptick in engagement once I did pay for it. So unfortunately, Twitter is pay to play, which sucks because you shouldn't have to do that. And I think that's a lot of why we're really excited about Blue Sky.
Yeah, I think that the big problem there is that they often say that if you're not paying for the product, you are the product, right?
Yeah.
But like Twitter's asking you to be both the product and to pay for it. Like you will pay to be the product. And like to me that like I just really rubs me the wrong way. So let's get into Blue Sky itself. Blue Sky built on at least the app portion of it, built on React Native. And from what I've heard, the staging site, which is staging.bsky.app, is built on React Native for web. Which, before we talked to Nathan on the show here a few episodes ago, I would have said that I don't know how I feel about that. But React Native for Web, I've since learned, is actually like a really cool project. I just called him Nathan, and his name is Nate, or at least he goes by Nate. So
yeah,
sorry, Nate, about giving you the long form.
So React Native Web is also what Twitter.com is built on. And the idea is that you have, like, go back to the show with Nate. He has Tamagui. It's kind of the same idea of React Native Web, is that you just have like a text component. You don't have a paragraph tag. You have a text component. You don't have a div tag, but you have a whatever the equivalent is. And then
yeah, you can like a view or something.
You can compile the view layer to native on Android and iOS, and to divs, HTML and CSS on the web. And it works pretty good. I don't know that I would do it myself, but it's also why if you view source on Twitter, there's all these crazy class names that don't make any sense. And it's because it's almost entirely compiled from the output of it. But it works pretty well. People have been kind of grouchy at the performance and whatnot, but it's snappy, it's fast. There's obviously bugs, but it's very early days. The people that run Blue Sky themselves are surprised with the uptake that it has. It was just like a Sunday afternoon, and I opened my Twitter, and there was like my whole feed was Blue Sky invite. I need a Blue Sky invite. I need a Blue Sky invite. And I was just like, oh boy. I need a Blue Sky invite. You get that sort of FOMO. So I threw it on there. Like somebody hooked me up.
Every minute that ticks by, you're like, someone's going to take Scott at Blue. Of course, I had no chance of getting Scott at Blue Sky, but somebody's going to take it. And so you got to get on there. I was resisting the urge to beg for invites. And then my resisting only lasted so long before I was on Twitter begging for invites.
So I want to talk really quickly just about like why social media is important, and why I think it's kind of interesting that developers, like all developers are, not all of them, obviously there's still invites, but it seems like literally everybody that can get an invite is actually there and actively posting. Like I posted something there 29 minutes ago and it has 36 likes on it. Like there's actually people just kind of milling on it like they are on Twitter. And I think that's really important because in the very early days, I was around when Twitter started up and it was just tech folk. It was a lot of developers talking about coding and that type of stuff. And it has the same sort of feeling that it did in the early days of Twitter. And developers are hacking on it and building little tools and things like that. And that's exactly why Twitter exploded, is that they had an open API. Literally anybody could use the thing, and people were building all kinds of interesting stuff on top of the platforms as well as the different protocols in the case of this. So I don't know why this is the one that is taking off. And I don't know, I would love to go back on like the Twitter, like who was it that like initially said, I need a Blue Sky invite?
Yeah, but yeah.
it took off like wildfire, and pretty much everybody is there now.
Yeah, it's interesting for me to think of like the first people I saw on this. Because I would, by all accounts, you and I got on even pretty early in the grand scheme of things. But it has been one of those projects that I've had bookmarked for a long time, specifically the things about the AT protocol, which we'll get into in this episode. But I've been looking at it for a long time, and it's been on my radar as something that exists, but there's no user-focused or facing app. There was nobody on it, obviously. It was always being discussed as Jack's new social network that is the exact same as Twitter, with some caveats, of which we'll talk about, that are mostly involved in the technical side of things, right?
Yeah,
but in reality, I think he's just an investor on it, or an early investor. And so I think that definitely probably was part of what propelled people into wanting to do this. Oh, this guy made Twitter. I bet he could make this other Twitter part two, even though it's not really, you know, his app necessarily.
Yeah. And people also use that as like a negative, like this guy's going to screw it up. And I was like, well, the guy kind of made the biggest social network in the world. And he has his bag. Like he's probably infinitely wealthy now. Like maybe he would want to make a second run. Like I was like, maybe this is the Dino of Twitter. Obviously, I don't think he's involved as much as people think he is, though.
Yeah, totally. You ever have Game Genie? Oh no, you don't really play video games growing up.
Oh yeah, I had it. My neighbor had a Game Genie for GoldenEye.
Okay. Well, also if you're out there and you remember Game Genie, go do some YouTube watching on how Game Genie works, because technically it's like replacing RAM values. And so the codes that you typed in a Game Genie were simply just actual values into RAM that you were swapping. So that way when the game loaded up and it went to access how many lives you had or something like that, it would access that in RAM and get the new value that you put in there instead of the default. That's how it works. Amazing.
It's unreal. It's a edge function.
Yeah, so cool.
It sits in the middle. It sits in between. Anyways, let's talk about, so Blue Sky is the platform itself, and it's built on top of this thing called the AT protocol. I know you're calling it the AT protocol. I'm assuming it's AT protocol because of the whole AT sign.
Well, I mean, you know, things can be multiple things, Wes.
They can, or things can be wrong.
It's capitalized AT.
Yeah, it's true. What does it stand for?
It stands for, I actually do know what it stands for. Thank you very much. It stands for, I don't know.
At.
Yeah.
Anyways, the at protocol itself, the whole idea behind Blue Sky is that Blue Sky is just an app / client that is using this new protocol. It's very much
the authenticated transfer protocol. Wes.
Oh, really? Okay. I stand corrected on that one. I certainly...
The ATP.
The ATP.
The Authenticated Transfer Protocol.
So the protocol itself is a open standard, which will allow literally anybody to implement this protocol and to make their own or to have different instances of it. So the kind of idea behind that is that it is entirely distributed. It's not blockchain. It's not Mastodon. But it is, the whole idea is that it is distributed and that you can take up your records and move at any time. And probably the thing that I love most about it, and this is something that we said on the last potluck, somebody said, what do you think about this like blockchain thing that will prove
it is funny that we
who you are? And I said, isn't that what your domain name does? Isn't your domain name proof of who you are? And then 3 days later, this thing comes around, and the way that you can obviously, when you sign up, you can get a bsky.social handle, but you can switch to using your own domain name as your handle. So I am at westboss.com, and I love that because you have to prove that you own the domain name via a text record in your DNS settings before you can actually get that domain name. And now if anyone sees a piece of content posted by the whole encryption thing is behind this app protocol. If anyone sees a piece of content that is posted by at westboss.com, they can go to westboss.com and see, okay, this is actually the guy, right? Like I know that this is Wes's URL.
Yeah. And it inspired me to get a new URL and to buy a new domain. So I bought tolin.ski.
So good.
Which I didn't know a .ski existed. What I really wanted was sc.ott. But OTT is owned by Dish Network, and they do not let anybody have them. So,
what about SCO.TT?
.TT? I don't think that existed.
It does.
Like as available.
Oh, yeah. Fixed daylight savings for good. Somebody who has a anti-daylight savings website is using it. Man, that would be sweet. Because Matt Mullenweg...
You're on my shit list, Scott Yates.
Matt Mullenweg has ma.tt, which is funny because the whole idea behind the domain name is that you prove who you are, but everybody's going for these like short vanity domain names. Because I also own west.io and boss.af, and I thought, I should do those. But like WestBoss is kind of my thing, so I had to go with that.
Yeah.
So what else?
It's distributed. And when you said distributed, you said you could move it. And a lot of people will say like decentralized too. Does decentralized and distributed, do those mean the same thing to you in this sort of way?
Yes, yeah. It does, because it's not like Blue Sky has my data. All of my skeets are okay. A post in Blue Sky. The creator of it jokingly put a thing out that said, posts on Blue Sky are skeets. And then yesterday she says, please don't make skeets catch on, but it's just what I want to say. Like, it's obviously hilarious, but like, let's take back the word.
Yeah.
Okay? They're skeets.
Take back the word from Little John. Good luck. Yeah, and also too, like in that same regard of being decentralized. So right now, one thing about it being decentralized too is that you can have different instances like federated on Blue Sky. So essentially, people could create essentially their own apps that are their own instances of this service. The same way when you sign up for Mastodon, it asks you to pick your server, or when you sign up for Discord, it asks you to pick your pick your server on Discord, right? In Discord, it makes a lot of sense because you sign into the Syntax Discord, and then you're talking with a bunch of Syntax fans. On Twitter and Mastodon, in my opinion, it's one of the reasons why Mastodon has had a hard time gaining traction, right? People sign up for an instance and they kind of feel like, did I pick the right instance? I created a Mastodon account, but when the account creation process popped up for me, I got like instance paralysis. I was like, I have no idea what server to pick. And because of that, I'm like delaying signing up for this thing because I don't want to pick the wrong one. Oh, I want to be in Front End Social, but Front End Social is not taking signups anymore. Yeah. What do I pick? I just pick the first one, I guess. I picked the first one. But with Blue Sky, it was like, here's the path for Blue Sky. You sign in, whatever. They haven't launched any of the Federation stuff yet, but that is part of the whole protocol and part of the future of this stuff is being able to have different instances and different servers on this protocol.
And I think the important part of that is people do want a place to just sign up. However, if you do want to go somewhere else, you can choose where you want to go for the algorithm is a big one in that the data is there and algorithms can be great. TikTok has a great algorithm. It shows me stuff that I love seeing. Algorithms can be really frustrating to a lot of people as well, or they can be skewed in a certain way. Or if you don't like the way that a specific service is banning people or doing whatever, then you go to a service that has different things in place, right? So you can
choose. I heard of a Blue Sky algorithm that is only wholesome posts. Give me only wholesome posts.
Yeah, I guess that would work, right? Like the way they describe it is that a data repository is like a Git repo. And you commit your records to that Git repo. And then the thing that consumes all of those records that are across all of the different repos will be able to decide what you get shown and how it's displayed. And then the applications itself, I guess, no, the applications itself is kind of how it's displayed, whether it's like, oh yeah, I'm using the Blue Sky one. I don't know that. I should say I don't totally 100% understand how all of the stuff works. Also, I don't think they totally know how all of this stuff works. It is all a very much a work in progress. But what is very interesting to me is that they started with the protocol initially, and they started with this idea of, I'll just jump over to like the lexicons really quickly. We'll come back to finishing up the app protocol. Basically, records can have different schemas. So obviously a Twitter-like piece of a record and following people and unfollowing people and muting people, that is one implementation of this protocol. But as I see it, you could literally implement anything. And the schema, it can be, you can define custom schemas. And I think that is really interesting because at the first time I looked at that, I'm like, oh, cool, another open standard. What happens when people want features that are not part of the standard, right? Then what do you do? That's what happened with RSS. People move to different algorithms. That's why people go to something like a Spotify because Twitter got rid of their RSS feeds. You know, like standards are great until somebody wants to do something custom on top of that. And they say, I can't move fast enough to keep up with these standards, or I just want to do something on my own. So the idea is that this is a standard where you can publish these immutable schemas that define the different types. So I would imagine you could also host a horse network, you know, and
it's horse time. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's the
you
name
could
of
host
the
an internal one in your company, something like that. So the protocol seems very broad and open as with a heavy emphasis on proving who people are while being distributed.
Yeah. Yeah, so it isn't just a Twitter clone at that where the protocol ends up being a big deal. And we're seeing kind of the future of social media in general move in this direction on all fronts. The only thing is that nothing's really caught on in this space in any sort of federated type of social media. And whether or not this ends up being quote unquote the winner or not, or if something else takes into the space is definitely a different conversation. But I do think that we are seeing a decentralized social media as this kind of next evolution inside of social media. That said, notice how this is not blockchain. And like that was everybody's like, for things to be decentralized, it must or decentralized and blockchain was like often hand in hand as the way people talked about a lot of this stuff, right? So it's good and interesting to see that this is like, hey, this is decentralized, but there's none of this like Web 3 spam about it. They're calling it Web 5 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, they have a whole FAQ. Is ATP the app protocol blockchain. No, it is a federated protocol. It is not blockchain, nor does it use blockchain. And they link to a Wikipedia article saying a federated protocol is a computing or networking providers that agree upon standards of operating in a collective fashion, which is, I guess, you know what is a very good example of that? Phones. Or I guess like IP addresses and HTTP and other ones were, that's the other good example is that XMPP, that was the like open chat format. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of died off because people wanted, even SMS is an open, a federated protocol.
Is it? And SMS?
Yeah, because you can text anybody to any phone number and anywhere in the world on any phone, and SMS will work, right? But Apple comes around, says it's not good enough. I want to do group chat. I want to do reactions. I want to, like, there's the standard doesn't allow me to do voice calls or sending payments inside of this type of thing. And then you say, okay, well, like, yeah, XMPP is great because it works everywhere. But at the end of the day, most people don't care. They want features that just work. And they want cool stuff to sit on top of that. So I'm very curious to see how this will play out.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, do people want that, or do they actually, like, RCS, do you know what RCS is? Rich Communication Services is a standard that Android phones use for rich communications inside of messages. And now Apple is the one who, of course, is doing their own walled garden thing of using their own thing instead of the standard. So do people really want the standard, or do they just want the functionality? And I think with Twitter versus Blue Sky here, we'll see if people really want a standard.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very curious to see if, like, right before this, who is it? Tegan. I don't really know who celebrities
Chrissy
are.
Chrissy Teigen. Do you not know who Chrissy Teigen is?
My wife's a big fan of Sarah Chrissy Teigen. And Teigen?
It's not from Teigen and Sarah. Sarah and Teigen. That's not a thing.
I don't know.
Teigen and Sarah. Chrissy Teigen is married to John Legend. She's a model. She's an author. She has a lot of cookbooks, Wes, that actually, I got to say, my favorite cookbooks in our household are Chrissy Teigen's cookbooks, Cravings, I believe they're called.
Yeah.
If you don't got those and you like cookbooks out there, Sick Pick is her cookbooks are fantastic. Half the stuff Courtney makes is from them, and they're lovely.
I'll check that out. So anyway, she just joined like 30 minutes ago, and everyone's freaking out. And it's kind of interesting because with Twitter, it was devs in the early days, and it has this like magical feel where not everybody is mad at each other and talking about politics. Like, it has that early days kind of excitement feel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, but like, when do the baseball players come? You know, like at what point did the Twitter thread boys start showing up and giving us tips and that stuff, that kind of thing? Because also it's very early and this thing can be gamed extremely easily. I think there's only a handful of devs working on this thing right now. So it's almost like, oh, don't grow too quickly. Otherwise, it's become like a dumpster fire of different things. But they also have a lot of good stuff in place already, which is the ability to report somebody for impersonation. They have a system in place already where actual humans will review reports. And Tom from MySpace has already been marked as a fake account. So,
Yeah, there's a lot there. There's no blocking, unfortunately, yet, but you can mute people. So I've already started muting some people. But I would love to have the blocking functionality in there. I also read a thread today that says, like, when you delete Escape now, it's like goes into the trash and isn't exactly deleted from their system. So, like, that's still something.
Oh, yeah.
There's definitely like early days. There's no link shortener on it. So if you post a big old link, it's going to take up a bunch of your characters when you're trying to keep your characters under a limit. So you got to go elsewhere for a link shortener. There's no multimedia on here yet. So you can't do GIFs. You can't do video, which is a big thing. You know, for sports Twitter to move over to this thing, you're going to have at least GIFs and embedded video, because sports Twitter is like almost all video, right? You're showing highlights, you're showing clips, you're showing, you know, events that took place.
The blocking thing is really interesting. So Jay, who is the, I guess, the founder of this, says the team was just four people when we decided to implement mutes and not blocks. We did mutes and not blocks because the Federation architecture was not finished and blocking requires cooperation from all entities in the network. If I block someone on my server, okay, where does that information get stored? Just on my server or on other servers that didn't know how to respect it? Okay, and then what if the server doesn't listen to my blocks, right? Like, what if there is... like this, what if you, your block list has to be public then? What if you don't want it to be public? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to think about. And that's, I think, why they are really focusing on making the protocol first before they get into that type of thing. And there's no DMs or anything like that, but
that, no Twitter DMs was like that as well
in the early days. Yeah. We did, we didn't have DMs on Twitter on the first day. We didn't even have at. You know, like it was just...
Oh, yeah. There's no hashtags. Hashtags. A community invented thing. Yeah. There's a lot here. You know, we didn't even get into some of the stuff like it uses XRPC, which is like their own general purpose RPC that they created to use with the protocol. It's generic, they say, so you can use it for other things. But it's interesting where it like maps the calls, server to server calls. It maps them like directly to a GET request. Which is like, it's funny because it, the way it works is like api.com.atproto.repo.listrecords, right? That's the XRPC call.
Yeah.
But that all that's doing is like translating that to a GET request to xrpc/com.atprotocol.repo.list. So it's like almost like it matches directly with the API request with that thing. It's just like a quick little swap of how that request is actually taking place. So there's some like really interesting stuff. And you even got to mess around with their API quite a bit already, which is like amazing.
Yeah, I dipped into it right away because I was like, this is super interesting. So I wrote a couple things. First, I wrote just a little CLI to pull in a list of skeets and display them just as like a, that's what you do, right? And it, again, it reminds me of early days of Twitter where you can just make a call. There's no OAuth, there's no tokens. Literally, they didn't even, you just had to put your username and password in initially. Now they have a concept of app passwords where you can like make a one-off password that you could revoke at any time and it doesn't have full access to your account. So I built that. I built something that posts. I switched from my westboss.bsky.social to my own domain name, but I didn't want somebody to snatch up my old one. So luckily somebody gave me a second invite and I just squatted on that one. And I've turned that one into a reply bot. So anytime somebody replies to it or anytime somebody follows me, I send them a skeet back and says, hey, wrong account. You're meant to mention this specific one. And that was kind of an interesting one as well, where I used a database to store which skeets I had replied to. Then I realized... you can use the notifications feed and mark notifications as read, which is something that Twitter doesn't even do. So you could do it without a database, really, if you wanted to.
Well, now even with the Twitter, the Twitter API will bankrupt you before you can do a single thing. So.
Exactly, yeah. And I built a spider as well that I basically got a list of my followers, and then I looped through all of my followers and got their followers. And basically, I just wrote a spider that crawled the entire network. And within 45 minutes, I had every single account in a JSON file. At the time, there was like 37,000 accounts on it. And then I sorted them based on who had the most followers, who's following the most people. And it's funny, almost all the top accounts are clearly people who just wrote a bot to follow everybody on the network. And they're
follow
getting
everybody,
most,
yeah.
Which is what happened on Twitter in the early days. People would just follow everybody and then unfollow them. And then it would look like they had a lot of followers, which is
either that or they're clicking the follow button really quickly.
Yeah, yeah. That was actually back in MySpace days, there were some people that had like a million friends on MySpace. And people would buy this thing called Batter Adder. And it would literally do that. It would just click and add friend, next one, add friend, next one. It was just, I don't know how it was built. I'd be curious to talk to the person that built it, but.
Well, hey, Wes, you should listen to the episode 61 of Darknet Diaries called Sammy. I'll link to that in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Sammy was a great episode where they talked about one of the first worms that this person accidentally wrote on MySpace for adding friends. They basically wanted to add more friends, so the worm added some friends, and then they went to sleep, and then they woke up, and there was like, it was, they wrote a basic worm that was adding friends, and it got out of hand.
Yeah, because you could put, you just insert JavaScript into the page, and then it it just wormed out. Man, Batter Adder has a YouTube channel.
Oh, no way.
Where it shows how to use it. Oh, man. I never used this on MySpace because, like, you had to buy it.
I didn't either.
And, yeah. like, the, but there was, like, guys in bands that would just run this thing 24/7 because it was such good promo for your band. So I imagine now that people, there seems to be no rate limiting in place. I asked them, do you have rate limits? They're like, we haven't decided on that yet. But, like, I put, like, a 200 millisecond wait in between every request. I forgot. I took it out one time and it made like 10,000 requests
in
50 seconds or something like that. And I was like, oh, I guess there's no rate limiting in place right now.
I did see that there was, their servers were slowing down because people were trying to brute force account passwords, which I know
what's up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Definitely check it out. I think it might flop. But
yeah, it could very well be disappeared this time next year. We have no clue.
I feel like it is good enough. I feel like it has really good uptake in the dev community. And I think that like it's kind of on us to push people in that direction to at least give it a good shot, you know? So if you're listening to this podcast, try get an invite, try jump on it and like give this thing an honest shot as a at least the dev community place for chatting.
Yeah, totally. And I'm personally going to at least commit to, I deleted the Twitter app off of my phone. One, because it's compulsive enough for me anyways. I'm the type of person who's going to pop open Twitter all the time when I shouldn't be. So getting rid of the Twitter app, good for me. And then I have the Blue Sky app on there and I'm trying not to check it compulsively, but still at least committing to when I'm away from my computer, not using Twitter. Not as a means to exclude anybody who's not on Blue Sky yet, but as a means of controlling my own personal browsing habits. So, yeah, if I can wean off some of my dependency in emotionally on Twitter, then that's all pro for me, regardless.
See you later. Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.